Hello everyone, today I bring you a story by Edgar Allan Poe. In this podcast, we will enjoy the summary of the story and some comments about it. So let's start. Never Bet the Devil Your Head. Published on 1850. Con tal que las costumbres de un autor, says Don Tomás de la Torres in the preface to his amatory poems, that amatory means relating to or expressing sexual love, sean puras y castas, importó muy poco que no sean igualmente severas sus obras. It is wrong, meaning in plain English that provided the moral of an author are pure personality, it signifies nothing whether the moral of his books. Every fiction should have a moral. And what is more to the purpose, the critics have discovered that every fiction has. A novelist, for example, doesn't need to take care of his morals. It is there. It is somewhere, and the moral and the critics can take care of themselves. The narrator said that he has been accused of writing stories that don't have morals. He asserted that it isn't true because critics or readers are able to find a moral in any work of fiction without the author take care of it. However, the narrator decided to respond these criticisms by writing a story which had its moral clearly. Okay, let's continue with the story. Toby Dang me was a sad dog. It is true, in a dog's death. It was that he died. He grew out of a personal defect in his mother. She did her best in the way of flogging him during his childhood. But, poor woman! She had the misfortune to be left-handed, and a child flogged left-handedly had better be left unflogged. The world revolved from right to left. It will not weave a baby from left to right. If each blow in the proper direction drives an evil propensity out, it follows that every time in an opposite one knocks its quota of kindness in. I was often present at Toby chastisements, and even by the way in which he kicked, I could perceive that he was getting worse and worse every day. Alas, I saw, through the tears in my eyes, that there was no hope of the villain at all. Went down upon my knees forthwith, and uplifting my voice, made a prophecy of his ruin. Month by month, he had conquered a province city for cursing and swearing and for baking his assertions by bets. Through his later most ungentlemanly practice, the ruin which I had prayed to Dobby Dangmead overtook him at last. When he came to be a man, he could scarcely utter a sentence without interlocking it with a proposition to gamble. Not that he actually laid waggers, no. I will do my friend justice to say that they were simple, if not altogether innocent and expletive. When he said, "I'll beg you so and so," nobody even took of taking him up. But still, I couldn't help thinking it my duty to put him down. The habit was an immoral one, and so I told him it was a vulgar one. It was discontented by society. I demonstrated, in vain. I entreated. He smiled. I implored. He laughed. I kicked him. He called from the police and offered to bet the devil his head that I wouldn't venture to try that experiment again. Nobody ever talked of taking you serious. I tell you, it is a vulgar behavior. Narrator said to Dangmead. Dangmead replied, "I don't remember anything you said. It will be better if you bit your tongue. Are you fool? Do you think that I am a baby? Shh, darling. In the end, he abandoned all the form of Walker and gave himself up to I'll bet the devil my head. One fine day, having strolled out together, there was a bridge, and we resolved to cross it. It was rough over. Having passed nearly across the bridge, we approached the termination of the footway, when our progress was impeded by a turnstile of some hay. I beg the devil my head that I can jump that, damn it, Walker. I didn't think he could do it. I therefore told him in so many ways that he was a braggadocio and couldn't do what he said. I was about to reply when I heard close to my elbow, I started looking around me in surprise. My glance upon the figure of a little lame old gentleman of venerable aspect. Nothing could be more venerant than his whole appearance, for he not only had a full suit of black, his shirt was perfectly clean, and this was a thing which I thought was very odd. Dang it, I said. What are you about? Don't you hear? The gentleman says, I addresses him with those simple words. Damn it. What are you about? Don't you hear? The gentleman says, You don't say so, he gasped at length, after turning color. Are you quite sure he said that? Well, at all events, I am in for it now, and may as well put a bold face upon the matter. Here's go then. At this, the little old gentleman seems pleased. God only knows why. I am quite sure you will win it, damn it, said he, with the frankest of all smiles. But we are obligated to have a trial, you know, for the sake of mere form. Replied my friend. The old gentleman now took him by the arm and led him more into the shade of the bridge, a few paces back from the turnstile. He said, "Don't admit any flourishes of the pigeon wing. A mere friend, you know. I will say one, two, three, and away." Man, you stare at the word away. One, two, three, and away. Eventually, as they were away, my poor friend set off in a strong gallop. He jumped so great, but out of nowhere he fell. This is quite a remarkable consequence of Toby Dangme due to his verbosity upon a previous occasion. Dangme was in the floor. At the same instant, I saw the old gentleman limping off at the top of his speed, having cocked and grabbed up in his apron something that fell heavily into it from the darkness. He had received a serious injury from the iron bar. The truth is that Dangmead had deprived him of his head. So, in the end, he a leg died. He is a lesson to all rigorous laborers who has bad mouth. This story concerns a young man named Toby Dangmead, who is very fond of saying, "I'll bet the devil my head." Inevitable, the devil eventually takes him up on that wager and things end badly for Dangmead. The end. To finish it with a comment. It is a really sad ending, right? Poor Toby. He only had bad luck. But his story will teach future generations that our words have power and consequence, you know? Toby was very, very poor. He constantly begged the devil his head. over the very little money he has. Obviously, he can't pay the money. He can't pay it, or his head. Yet, he bet the devil his head. He had, which was the reason for his death. Well, remember that at the beginning the author said that every fiction story has a moral? So we can interpret the moral as, don't make bets you can pay it off. Remember, don't make bets you can pay it off. So thank you, all of you, for listening to me. These minutes about this amazing and interesting story by this famous and great author called Edgar Allan Poe. Thank you a lot. This podcast is by Letty Martinez.